What would you do if you couldn't even hold the person that you love so much? Well, that is the exact premise of this movie, 5 Feet Apart. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hey, movie lovers, I'm your host, Mina Wahab, and today we are talking about the movie 5 Feet Apart, a movie in the sick flick genre that left me crying, sobbing uncontrollably. Honestly, the entire theater was just, it was sniffles all around. So it was a movie that deeply affected me on so many levels. And I just want to make a disclaimer that there are going to be spoilers in this review. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you don't want it spoiled, just put this on pause, go watch the movie, and come back and listen to the rest of this review. So this movie stars Cole Sprouse and Haley Lou Richardson as Will and Stella. And it takes place in a hospital. These are actually two characters that have cystic fibrosis. And what I really loved about the movie was it talked about the illness in a way where we could really understand it without it becoming too, like, medical jargony or boring or a snooze fest. And the way they did that was by having Stella, played by Haley Lou Richardson, vlog about it. So she's in her hospital bed, like, all day, every day, and she vlogs about what it's like to have cystic fibrosis. So for those of you who don't know what cystic fibrosis is, it is a hereditary disease, and it affects the lungs and the digestive system. And what happens is that your body produces a thick and sticky mucus that can clog the lungs and obstruct the pancreas. So it is deadly. People with the illness tend to have a much shorter lifespan. And in this movie, our protagonist, Stella, is waiting for a lung transplant. With Cole Sprouse's character, Will, his situation is a little bit different because his treatments aren't working for the cystic fibrosis and he's not a candidate for a lung transplant. So the trajectory for his character is a lot sadder. But the whole movie is about how, you know, these two people come into each other's lives and they live in this hospital. And they have to stay 6 feet apart at all times. And that is because if they come any closer than that, it will be lethal for either one of them. So I love what this movie does in terms of, you know, playing with distance and human touch and physical touch, because a lot of romantic movies, like, really incorporate physical touch because it's a huge part of a relationship, of a romance, especially when that romance is not long distance, especially when the romance is in person, unless it's a movie like Her, where you're in love with your operating system on your phone. There is going to be physical touch for the most part when it comes to a romantic movie. So this is what made the movie so interesting. What would love be like when you have this huge barrier, when you have this thing that acts as like an impediment to your love growing and blossoming? Because at this point, you know, you can have the mental connection, you can have the attraction, but you can't really hold one another. You can't comfort each other during times of solace. You cannot, you know, like, just like, it's so instinctive to reach out to someone and to, like, give someone either a pat on the back or a hug or a kiss, and none of that can exist. So it creates this beautiful tension in the movie. And it's interesting to see how the dynamic progresses as the love grows between these two characters. I enjoyed the movie, but when I first started watching it in the very beginning, I would say for the first half of the movie, I wasn't in love with it. It felt a little cliche in the beginning. I felt like, okay, where is this story going? It feels kind of like, you know, A Walk to Remember, The Fault in Your Stars. It just felt like it had this very formulaic, okay, we're two people, we're sick, you know, we're gonna fall in love, something horrible's gonna happen at the end, it's gonna be like a soap opera or a telenovela, or just something tragic is obviously going to happen. So I couldn't get into it that much in the beginning, but once it hit the halfway mark, I was completely invested in these characters. What I really enjoyed was, you know, more than just the cystic fibrosis, this was kind of a story about how opposites attract. So we have Haley Lou Richardson's character who, you know, she says she's OCD, and She is very kind of like by the book, proper. She is very clean, very tidy. She plays by the rules. She doesn't really break the rules or bend the rules. She's, you kind of get a sense of her being like this bubbly, responsible, goody two shoes. So, what I really like that because it heavily contrasted with Cole Sprouse's character, who, you know, was kind of the bad boy in the beginning. You know, he's breaking all the rules. He's sitting on the rooftop in the cold. And, like, who does that? Like, that's obviously very dangerous, but he doesn't play by the rules. He's a little edgier. And obviously, that attracts Stella to Will. And it's like that very much, you know, bad boy meets the good girl. What's going to happen? But what I love was that it didn't just stick to those personality archetypes. You know, there was definitely more there. The characters were more nuanced. There were more layers. And you find that out as the story progresses. So we see the softer side of Will. We see how, you know, he cries and how emotional he gets and how invested he gets in Stella. And we see his selfless love and his desire for her to live is greater than, like, his love is so great where he would do anything just to see her happy, just to see her survive. And for him to put her first in that way and to value her life so much because he knows logically there is no cure for him. I just thought it was so beautiful to see that play out, especially when these characters are 17, 18 years old. It was just beautiful to see something like that unfold on screen. So I would say in terms of the acting, Cole Sprouse did a really, really great job bringing this character to life. I haven't seen him on screen since Big Daddy and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. I know he's on Riverdale and he's extremely popular on television right now, but it was so refreshing to see him in this type of role where there is some softness there, even though he has this edge to him. And your heart can't help but melt watching the love unfold between these two people. When you look at the pictures and the cinematography on screen, what really translated well to me was that, yes, a lot of this takes place in the hospital. And even when it is outside, it's in the snow. So we don't really see a lot of sun. We don't see, you know, elements that would make this happy. We see a lot of darkness. We see a lot of, like, I want to say neutral colors, a lot of blues, a lot of whites, nothing that really pops, nothing that's really bright. But in all the shots, what's done so well is we have a lot of establishing shots or wide angle shots where we just see the distance between them, but we still feel that they are so interconnected, even though they're there's 5 feet between the two of them. And she even says in the movie, Haley Lou Richardson's character says, "I know we have to be 6 feet apart, but I need 1 foot closer to you. And I am not going to let this like 6 feet keep us apart." So I thought there was like a lot of, you know, clearly romantic undertones. And just looking at this shot here as well, like, it's just beautiful to see how close they are, even when they're apart. Like, you feel the connection there. And I love how the chemistry translates on screen, because even when you see in-person interviews of these two at press junkets or talking about the movie or playing games where they're answering questions about each other, you just feel that, like, levity between them. So even though there is this, like, very dark, depressing theme of, you know, living life with cystic fibrosis and how painful and detrimental that is, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and there is still love, and there is still hope, and all these beautiful, beautiful themes. So that's what I loved about the cinematography. And additionally, what I really, really liked that was done so well that I don't see a lot of in movies, except for, I would say the last time I saw this would be in Les Miserables, was we see a lot of extreme close-ups and close-ups of each of these characters. We see shots that are completely zoomed in on Haley Lou Richardson's face as she's crying or having an emotional breakdown about her friend dying. And, you know, Poe does die in the movie, and he is one of the characters that brings so much life and light to the movie. He's a connector. He makes it so that we are invested in everyone, in everyone's outcome in the movie, especially his. But I feel like he kind of serves this function of, you know, the reality that people do die who have cystic fibrosis. This is not something that is easy to live with. And I just love what was done with the cinematography. Just those extreme close-ups really translated the gravity of the situation, how painful it is, the sacrifice, the guilt, you know, the survivor's guilt of seeing everyone you love around you die, but being the one person who survives and feeling like, why me? How come I'm alive? These people did not deserve to die. Why am I still here? And it's so important to talk about that, to talk about survivor's guilt, to talk about feeling like the world is unfair, and to live in these circumstances where you just were not given the birth lottery. And even the themes of like healthcare and how costly it is to just be in a hospital for this long. And even Poe says, I don't want to be a burden on the people that I love. You know, once I turn 18, my insurance changes. I don't want someone to have to pay for all these hospital bills and medical bills. So at the same time, even though this is a teen romance, it's shedding light on all of these important topics, things that we really do need to talk about in our communities, things that we do need to talk about in this nation as a whole, which is affordable healthcare and, you know, people who have illnesses or diseases being able to get treatment and have it be affordable when it's a life or death situation, especially, and how unfair it is that there is no access in our country when it comes to these things. It's a privilege when it should be a right afforded to everybody. So that's another thing I thought the movie did really, really well. I would say that there was a main criticism of the film where people who have cystic fibrosis lashed out at the film saying, okay, this was not an accurate depiction of cystic fibrosis. It didn't show X, Y, and Z. You know, it didn't show all of the coughing. It didn't show the extent of how bad the disease really, really is. So I did read reviews and like criticisms of that. But at the same time, there were a lot of people who were happy that this was, you know, shed light, that there was light being shed on this issue at all, because it really never has been before. So my opinion is that, you know, if you want something that's going to be factually correct, like to the T 100%, go watch a documentary. If you know it's going to be a Hollywood movie, you know it's not going to be 100% like factually correct. Like, obviously there are going to be elements that are glamorized. Obviously you're going to get people who look like, you know, gorgeous Hollywood celebrities. You're not gonna see like all of the unglamorous side effects of having cystic fibrosis, but that just comes with watching a mainstream movie that is not a documentary. So I feel like if you're going into it with that, then you're just watching the wrong movie. I think this movie gives you exactly what you want if you're the type of person to want to go see a movie that's going to make you cry, that's going to be kind of cathartic, that's going to be lovey-dovey, then this is definitely the movie for you. You're going to get all of that. There were parts of it that were a little frustrating, where we see these teens acting like teens, being irresponsible, going outside when they're not supposed to go outside, being closer than they should be. And we obviously have the scene where they're skating on the ice, and you know, the entire time during that scene, I was just thinking, don't fall in. I hope this isn't going to be one of those cheap thrills where the director or the writer of the movie decides, hey, wouldn't it be a brilliant idea if we decide to kill off one of these characters by having them slip through the ice and die? And sure enough, they have a scene where Stella's character is on the ice right before she's about to get a lung transplant, right when the call gets in saying that she's a candidate for a lung transplant and she needs to go back to the hospital immediately. She jokes around about something with Will, and then she pretends to fall, and she does fall, but she's obviously joking around. But then when he gets annoyed at her and he goes and checks up on her, she realizes that she has fallen through the cracks of the ice and that she is drowning. And he pulls her out of the water. At this point, I think he's going to die trying to save her. But he pulls her out of the water, and he doesn't know what to do. He calls 911, and he decides to give her mouth-to-mouth, even though he has an illness and he has a specific type of illness within the realm of cystic fibrosis that is deadly if she were to catch it. But he has no other option. He gives her mouth to mouth. She survives. She's in the hospital. She's getting the lung transplant. But there's like this huge resistance where she's saying, no, I don't want the lungs. I don't want to live. Like, I don't want this. And because he tells her, please do this for me, she agrees, which a lot of people complained about this scene, saying, like, if you really didn't want something, how is him saying, please do it for me? Like, how is that going to be the tipping point that makes you all of a sudden change exactly what you've ever wanted and say yes? But I saw it as a very beautiful moment where she knows how much he values her life. And she probably also doesn't want him to feel responsible for her death, especially after he's gone through great lengths to save her. Like, what would all of that have been for? Would that have all been in vain if she just doesn't accept the lung transplant? So I totally understand how that scene played out. I thought it was well done. What I didn't like was that the parents all of a sudden come in and they're super worried and invested in the outcome of their kids. And at that point, I'm just like, where were the parents this entire movie? Like, you're going to bring the parents in now? Where were they the entire movie? Because it really felt like these kids were on their own, that they didn't have a huge support system. So seeing the parents kind of annoyed me because I felt like they were there just to be there. And there really was no sense of like, oh, these kids must survive because of the parents. I did not feel the connection there. I feel like it was just done to be done, which I get that there's a parent or legal guardian, but it was unnecessary in my eyes. That's the only, like, main annoyance that I had with that scene in the film. Anyway, as the story progresses, we also find out that, you know, there is no hope for Cole Sprouse's character. Will is going to inevitably die, and that is the sad truth. And, you know, at this point, the characters have already said I love you to one another in the most romantic way possible. You know, the bond is solidified. They love each other forever. And it doesn't feel like one of those cheesy teen, like, oh, I love you forever and you're the person for the rest of my life. It really does feel authentic. It feels real. It feels raw. And it's so beautiful to see this love play on screen towards the end where we see, you know, they've been 5 feet apart the whole time. They haven't really had that physical connection. But at the same time, their love is eternal. And Will's character is going to leave her behind because he cannot be around her. There's no end in sight. Like, there's no point for the relationship to progress when we all know what the ending is going to be. So there's this extremely powerful scene at the end of the movie, and this is what actually made me cry. This is what I couldn't handle, was when he said, I want you to close your eyes because I don't want you to see me walk away. Like, I don't want you to remember us like this. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to walk away, but I want you to know that, like, I will always love you. Oh my God, I feel like I'm going to cry right now because that scene was so, so powerful. And I'm such a sucker for, like, that sick flick genre and that, like, intense romance of, oh, he's walking away, but, you know, he always wants the best for her. And I think it really demonstrates, like, in life that if someone comes into your life, that it's not necessarily that they have to stay there for a lifetime to prove that their love is eternal. Sometimes people do come into our lives for a minute, for an hour, for a day. And that impact could be life-changing, even if it is for the shortest amount of time, even if you are 5 feet apart the whole time, even if you aren't touching each other. So that's something I really, really appreciated about this movie, was showing the impact that people have in our lives and how, you know, it's so beautiful when you find a person that you can connect to and relate to who fully understands your struggle and what you're going through. And I love that this movie decided to shed light on an illness that not a lot of people know about. And now a lot of people will know about it. And there is no cure for cystic fibrosis. So I think it's so important to shed light on, you know, not just mental illness, but these physical illnesses as well. And show people what it's like, especially when you're a teen and you have your whole life ahead of you. And you just kind of feel like your hopes and your dreams and everything is cut short. Like, you can't envision the future that the average person can. Like, you can't envision, oh, what would it be like if I had a family or if I had kids, or what am I looking forward to, or what am I planning for? Everything is kind of like handling things one day at a time instead of just looking way, way down the line. But that's also the beauty in having an illness like that, is that you learn to appreciate the beautiful moments of the day, and you're dealing with the day-to-day instead of dealing with things 10 years down the line or 5 years down the line or even the next day. You're dealing with the now. And that's something that the movie does so beautifully, is just appreciating the now and those beautiful moments between Will and Stella, and even the friendships that with the other patients in the movie, and the bond between nurse and patient and patient to patient, and everything. Oh my goodness, everything was just so cute, was so beautiful. I really enjoyed the movie. Let's talk a little bit about the reception of the movie. But before we do that, I do want to also add that Cole Sprouse, and this is what I think makes a great actor, is when you're willing to go the extra mile to do what is required of the character. Cole Sprouse lost 25 pounds to play the terminally ill teen in Five Feet Apart. So he dedicated all this time to like understanding nutrition, how he needed to look for the movie. And this is something he went over with the director, Justin Baldoni, who is also the director of Jane the Virgin, by the way. He put a lot of time into the physical and mental aspects involved, mainly the weight loss. So this was in order to portray the physical limitations involved with having cystic fibrosis. So kudos to him for doing that. You know, we always applaud actors for like gaining weight, losing weight, where they're not just like using prosthetics to appear that way, where they're actually doing it. I know some people were upset that they didn't have diversity in the film, in the sense that they didn't show people who actually had cystic fibrosis, that they were just actors portraying people with cystic fibrosis instead of, you know, including someone from that community, which I totally understand, but I'm just happy that there was talk of this illness at all. Like, that's important. That's a step in the right direction for sure. So here is the Rotten Tomatoes rating for Five Feet Apart. So when it comes to the audience score, 83% of audiences liked it, but when it comes to the film critic response, only 50% got it, which means it is not certified fresh. But it also shows you that if you're going to see this movie, if you're a person who is likely to see this movie, you're probably going to like it, because it attracts the people who are already going to it, like with the intention that, okay, they're going to like this. It caters to a teen audience. I would say it probably skews mostly female. It's like a chick flick slash sick flick, so you kind of know like who it's going to involve. But I'm going to read a few of the reviews for you right now, both the positive and the negative. So some people who liked it said, you know, it's the best tearjerker in a long time. One box of tissues might not be enough. On a deeper level, it earns some of that emotion through a story based on a real dilemma. Totally agree with that. That was Paul Burns from the Sydney Morning Herald. Another positive review: due credit should be given to Sprouse and particularly Richardson for selling all of these reheated tropes to their full potential. And I kind of get that too, because yeah, this is like a very common trope. Girl meets boy, girl falls in love with boy, boy falls in love with girl. Trouble ensues, they're star-crossed lovers, it's Romeo and Juliet, they can't be together. Why can't they be together? Oh, it's not because of their parents, it's because of their illness. Okay, so that's a common trope in every romance movie, is two people fall in love, but they can't be together for whatever reason. But this movie does that so well. It's not necessarily a cliche, as other movies would be. It really makes the most out of that common trope of how romances unfold on screen. So these were the criticisms of the movie. It says the performances almost make the journey bearable. So I don't think that's the worst review, because it's saying that the performances were better than the plot itself, which I totally agree with, by the way. I think the performances is what carried this. And it also says Richardson surely realizes, as The Fault in Your Stars, Shailene Woodley did before her, that this is the kind of marshmallow martyrdom that has to be briskly worked through before they let you at the grown-up scripts. That is so harsh. And then the final, like, negative review I'm going to read: while mawkishness should not be a prerequisite for the sick teens and love genre, the popularity of the two in concert has likely convinced many filmmakers that the opposite is true. So I do get it. Like, I do feel like some people think that this is flawed and deeply contrived about an impossible love, which adds almost nothing to this whole, like, sick flick adaptation genre. But I would argue the opposite. I would say the acting was good. I enjoyed the cinematography. I liked the extreme close-ups. And another thing that I really, really enjoyed was, you know, the cute little scientific facts about, oh, when someone sneezes, it travels this far, and germs travel this far. And then the information where they talk about human touch. They talk about that at the very end, too, and they hammer in that theme of human touch and how important it is. And the movie ends with this saying, like, so touch him and touch her and make sure you guys touch each other. And, yeah, I'm sure there might be a couple people snickering in the audience because of the sexual undertones, but I saw that as, like, one of the most beautiful themes of the movie is how important physical touch is. And don't take that for granted. Don't think, like, realize how blessed we are to have what we do have when we see stories like this. And, you know, let's not take that for granted. Let's love and love to our fullest and, you know, really appreciate what we have. So kudos to this movie. I would probably give it, what would I give it out of 10? I would give it maybe a 6.5 out of 10. It's not the best movie I've ever seen. I'm more a sucker for, like, Titanic, A Walk to Remember, 10 Things I Hate About You, like those fun chick flicks. But I still really, really did enjoy this movie, especially halfway through. I was all in. I was invested. And I'd like to see more from Haley Lou Richardson and Cole Sprouse. I think they did a phenomenal job. But on that note, please share your thoughts in the comments section below. Let us know what you thought about 5 Feet Apart. And if you want to hear my other reviews or keep up with me and the other movies that I see on a weekly basis, you can follow me on social media on Instagram at Mina Makes Magic. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Until next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.